Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Hopefully this is a Freedom Friday. Hopefully we have George Blacker coming in at 7. Also really excited to have Attorney General Austin Knutson in here at 7:30 until 8:20. We're going to have Don Kay, chairman of the Montana GOP, on at 8:20. We're going to have a guest here at 9 o'clock talking about upcoming Patriot Day, upcoming 9/11 remembrance issues. Meanwhile, this story blew me away, and the fact that it's not getting more attention is shocking too. Shout out to Numb on my Twitch account for sending this to me. This is a Reuters story. Listen to this, folks. August 29th, exclusive, Reuters exclusive. U.S. government funding yielded hundreds of patents for China-based researchers. The U.S. Defense Department, NASA, and other government agencies funded research that led to more than 1,000 U.S. patents for China-based inventors, including in sensitive fields such as biotech, semiconductors, and this is straight up data from the U.S. Patent Agency. The patent data, which was reviewed by Reuters and was not reported until just on August 29th, amplifies calls to cancel or renegotiate the landmark U.S.-China Science and Technology Agreement, which this was so classic too. I'm reading this article and I'm like, okay, what's the landmark U.S.-China Science and Technology Agreement? Reuters says it's a cooperation deal that critics say disproportionately benefits Washington's top GOP political rival. Okay, why don't you say it benefits China at the expense of the U.S.? But they don't mention in here, what they don't mention in here is that this deal was penned by none other than Democrat President Jimmy Carter, the Joe Biden of the 70s. But yeah, so 1970s Jimmy Carter apparently does this U.S. China Science and Technology Agreement. Apparently the Republican House of Representatives Select Committee on China subpoenaed this data from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. The U.S. Patent Agency granted over 1,000 patents that were funded by the U.S. government and involved China residing inventors. The data does not deal with whether U.S. entities or individuals share the patents. Pharmaceutical patents, biotech patents. Check this out. I was reading this and I was like, yo, this is crazy. Why would the federal government be using American taxpayer dollars to fund research for people in China to get United States patents? This is outland. And then I was thinking, wait, this kind of sounds like Fauci funding the Wuhan virus lab where COVID came from. Which, by the way, still laughing my butt off at the fact that the media is reporting Bozeman's having a rise in COVID cases. There was a really funny political cartoon I saw. But by the way, let me just finish the story. Okay, most of these patents were funded by the Department of Health and Human Services at the federal government, Fauci's agency. People will say, hey, I don't know why you need 30 rounds in a magazine for a gun. And my response is, I don't know why you need 6+ boosters for a cold.
Securing America.
September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month, and the Department of Defense is highlighting the month, calling their campaign Joining Your Fight to Connect to Protect. Dr. Liz Clark is the director of the Defense Suicide Prevention Office, commenting in a press release, suicide prevention takes a community to create change, to sustain hope, and to convey that we are all in this together. She goes on to say, I know the work is not easy, but we must each look out for each other and draw strength from each other as we light a path forward. Each death by suicide is one too many, and the department is deeply committed to ending the scourge of suicide through force. The department reminding everyone, if you or a loved one are experiencing thoughts of suicide, you are not alone, and to call the Veterans Crisis Hotline at 988. Veterans Affairs data from 2020 to 2021 showed there were nearly 6,400 veteran suicides in the country, that time frame showing the largest one-year increase in veteran suicides. Tom Graham, Fox News. Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s. For tonight, staying with clear skies, some areas of smoke with low temperatures in the low to mid-50s. And then for the start of the weekend, with sunshine Saturday, highs rebound to the upper 80s. Clear skies Saturday night with lows in the mid and upper 50s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable. Yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website. Go download the Montana Talks app, because we're going to deliver the stories they refuse to tell. MontanaTalks.com. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Open phones, 406-294-0970. Folks, if you want to call in, now's the time, 406-294-0970. You guys are going to have to tell me what you want to talk about, what you want to hear me talk about. I was just sharing that story about how the U.S. government has been funding all of these research projects under some Jimmy Carter initiative that apparently Joe Biden has sort of just recently extended, although I think it was a short-term extension. They're still talking about it, but that's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a big issue. Not getting any attention, not getting any discussion out there. But that's what's happening. This is unbelievable. Okay. The federal government, the United States federal government, is spending money to fund research in China to give Chinese people patents from the U.S., U.S. patents. How absurd is that? At the same time, interest on the federal debt is now over $3 billion a day. Just the interest on the federal debt is $3 billion a day. Think about how much money that is. Every single day, $3 billion we're having to spend on interest. This is from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. There's a chart, average interest expense on U.S. government debt now over $3 billion a day. There was also a really good piece in here about how this is what happens when the federal government owns the land, burnt to a crisp. Thanks, Washington. There's this deal about how one of the nation's leading conservation groups analyzed how the federal government is horrifically managing vast tracts of land out here in the West. Quote, federal lands are in a crisis. 12 of 15 million acres of our federal forests in California in the majestic Sierras have been burnt to a crisp. And the culprit is not so much the media touted global warming, but the environmental movement and the Clinton forest plan held steadfast by his successors. We confront 50 years of built-up fuel loads in federal forests that our Native American predecessors burnt every year for five millennia. So instead of grassland forest floors, we now have kindling half the height of our ponderosas. On and on and on. But yeah, it's so like this is exactly right. Obviously, the federal government is doing a terrible job of managing these federal lands, which is why when people like me say, hey, if the federal government's so bad at this, why don't you let the people here in Montana have a say in managing those lands? And then the Democrats freak out. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, good morning, early birds. I want to say something about a caller you had yesterday during the last hour on voter integrity, the integrity on Indian reservations. Then I have a couple of websites I want to share. You know, human nature is the same in all people. So it doesn't matter who or what you are. You're going to react. We all have the same six primitive passions in all of us. But I just want to remind this gentleman that our legislature had to pass a bill, House Bill 892, to keep Indians from double voting on reservations because they were using their Indian names and also their Christian names. So that's that says a lot for the integrity right there. But getting to these websites, you know, you're talking about world news. There's a globalpost.com, and the reason I want to say this one is because our journalists are not covering world news like they used to. And the current story is from Nicaragua, where, you know, President Ortega just hates the American people. He despises us. He's the one allowing all these illegals to come into his country for a fee, for a price. And they're, of course, coming through Nicaragua up the Darien Gap and Mexico into the United States. And the other website I want to share is there's a poet, American poet. He is a whimsical poetry writer. His name is Tarzana Joe. And you can find Tarzana Joe at Facebook and also Tarzana Joe at TarzanaJoe.com. And he posts a new poem. A political poem every Friday, and he is the most enjoyable guy, I'm telling you. You'll really enjoy his poetry. And just to all of our men and women in uniform, God bless you. You are not forgotten. We do think and care about you. And everyone, have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you so much, Nancy. Appreciate the phone call. Always good to hear from Nancy in Roundup. Wow. Here's a. Did you guys hear about President Biden's plan? Or I'm sorry, President Trump's plan to defeat inflation that he laid out at the Economic Club of New York. This was yesterday, just yesterday. Donald Trump was at the Economic Club of New York. I was watching. I was trying to watch some of this on my Twitch stream last night, which, by the way, you can check out on twitch.tv/electrofan, or just get the Twitch app on your phone. Search LCTRFAN. That's what I do. That's what I spend. I got the Montana Talks app and the Twitch app. That's all you need for content. But no, I was watching some of the Trump speech at the Economic Club in New York, and it was just so fantastic. But check this out. So Dan Scavino Jr. On Twitter kind of summarized Donald Trump's economic plans, which is just so good. I mean, this is fantastic stuff. Check this out. First, President Trump will immediately issue a national emergency declaration to achieve a massive increase in domestic energy supply. With these sweeping emergency authorities, Trump will blast through every bureaucratic hurdle to issue rapid approvals for new drilling, new pipelines, new refineries, and new power plants and reactors. How awesome does that sound? Oh, and I've got this clip from Vivek Ramaswamy. I have got to play. Even Chris Eliza now talking about how absurd and literally creating a laundry list of things where Kamala Harris has completely 180'd, allegedly.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, the latest net farm income report shows a 23% drop in net farm income compared to 2022. And Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, says that farms losing a quarter of their income isn't economically sustainable.
I'd like to ask how many households could withstand losing a quarter of their income in 2 years? It isn't just an economic hiccup for our farms. It's evidence of an agricultural downturn. I've heard from all our farmers and ranchers across the country that they are struggling. The latest census showed that we lost more than 140,000 farms in the last 5 years.
And he says there's a number of factors contributing to the downturn.
Farmers and ranchers are facing inflation just like every other American family. But we've also got a great deal of severe weather around, plummeting crop prices, and constant changes in regulatory requirements. Our labor, interest, expense, and property taxes are at a record level. On top of all that, our farm safety net that was designed to help our farms manage risk is so outdated that in many cases, it won't even trigger to help family farms face the drop in income.
That's why the American Farm Bureau Federation, along with other agricultural organizations, say the Net Farm Income Report only emphasizes that U.S. farmers and ranchers need a new farm bill. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Ranchers, will you help 10-year-old cowboy Grant Heaton find a cure for Duchenne muscular dystrophy?
DMD is a rare genetic disease in juvenile boys that destroys all muscle. Grant's dad, Paul Heaton.
There's no cure, really anything we can do to stop it. So the only other way we could fight was for a cure.
Consign a portion of your cattle sales to the Calves to Cure DMD All-Class Cattle Sale September 19th, 1 p.m. at Billings Livestock Commission. Visit Calves to Cure DMD online or call BLS for details.
With harvest season in full swing, NPGA encourages producers to know before you go and utilize State Grain Labs for grading before you haul your crop in for a final price. Proper harvesting is also crucial to maximizing profits. Be aware of spots that were hailed on, dry, or had disease. Ensure equipment is set properly and moisture content is right. Taking time at harvest will help ensure you receive a premium price at the elevator. For more harvest tips, visit northernpulse.com.
Well, according to AgriPulse, Bayer is one step closer to getting a date before the U.S. Supreme Court, where it can argue that the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act preempts state laws that have allowed plaintiffs who claim Roundup caused their cancer to prevail in court against the agrochemical giant. That's because the Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia ruled recently that since Pennsylvania's state law requiring companies to warn consumers about their products isn't equivalent to federal regulations, it's preempted. And finally this morning, the American Land Board has received a USDA Climate Smart Commodities Grant to quantify the impacts of targeted sheep grazing. The program, they say, is designed to measure and report carbon sequestration, soil health, and other associated benefits and ecosystem services provided by prescribed sheep grazing. Now, producers enrolled in the program will be paid up to $7,000 to develop and implement climate-smart sheep management practices and record measurements. For more information, you can visit landboard.com. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Open phones for you to call in 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. Or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Bob in Columbus sent a message. He says, fall of Roman Empire, open borders, interpolitical turmoil, history does repeat itself, America. Yeah, that's definitely a good historical analogy there. Let's hope that doesn't happen. There's a big deal going on here in Congress right now with respect to one of these, what they like to call a short-term spending measure, which is basically one of these CR omnibus blowout, you know, blow the deficit out, blow the debt out spending packages. And we've got a Republican House that's fixing to do it. And they've got this thing called the SAVE Act, which is securing American elections or Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, which basically is a provision that requires you to be an American citizen to vote and to register to vote in the United States. And the Democrats in Congress are literally threatening to shut down the government, completely shut down the federal government over this. Because they want non-citizens to vote. That's the only explanation. So this election integrity measure may be added or is being added. It's kind of unclear to me if it's there, if it's added, it's not added. There's been a whole bunch of back and forth on it. But the SAVE Act requires individuals to show proof of U.S. citizenship to register to vote in federal elections. But the Democrats are literally fighting against that. How bizarre is that? But here's the deal, too. I'm so sick of these gimmicks and these games by these Republicans about trying to attach whatever policy measure of the day to these omnibus CR packages. You know, for a while there, the Republicans weren't voting for additional federal spending
unless there were spending cuts, unless there were cuts to federal spending, which absolutely must be done. And frankly, you look at why, you know, why Representative Rosendale votes against all of these CRs and omnibus bills, because they're funding the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Biden-Harris tester regime policies. I don't understand it. It's like the Montana legislature passing all of this massive funding for the judiciary. Why? Why? Why are the Republicans in the legislature providing funding to the judiciary? Makes no. Why are the Republicans in Congress providing funding to the DOJ and the FBI so that they can go and attack Trump? Why are you voting to fund that? Oh, it's so frustrating. Hey, let's send some Republicans to Congress. Let's some Republicans to Helena so that they can vote to fund the very agencies and branches that are destroying.
Because listening to Fox News.
So, yeah, anyway, what is up with these Republicans in Congress and these Republicans in Helena voting to fund all of the most absurd, woke, leftist policies, agencies, and you name it? And then they do these gimmicks. Well, we're going to attach to this spending bill this one policy provision that we all like about requiring you to be a citizen to vote. And it's like, great, you know, great. Yeah, we do support that bill. But why are you going to vote to fund and spend all of the Biden-Harris tester regime policies and priorities? And why is a Republican Congress getting ready to pass a spending bill that has absolutely zero route to a balanced budget, that's not balanced, that is not on a path to being balanced, that is certainly not a surplus, certainly not on a path to being a surplus? And so, you know, at one point it was the border wall. Hey, we're not gonna vote to fund the government unless you attach the border wall to it. And then the Democrats are like, yeah, we're not gonna vote for that. And so we'll have a government shutdown. And then, no, we don't want a shutdown. We don't want a government shutdown. So no, fine, we'll take that out and we'll just vote for fully funding the Pelosi, Biden, Harris tester priorities and policies. And so, it's insane to me. We have a Republican House of Representatives right now that is fully 100% funding the Biden-Harris tester regime's priorities. And I don't get that. And it's the same thing going on in Helena, where they're providing full funding to the very judiciary that's striking down all their laws. Me personally, and this is easy to say, right? Because I'm not running for office. I'm not a politician. I don't have to answer to the voters. I don't have the responsibilities of being in power. But in my opinion, if I was there, I would never, ever vote to fund the DOJ and the FBI's attacks against Donald Trump. I would never vote for spending measures that are driving us directly into bankruptcy and insolvency as a country and as an economy. That ought to be the rule for a Republican Congress. No, we don't pass funding measures unless we're on a path to a surplus, period. And no, we're not going to pass spending measures that fully fund the Democrat DNC agenda. Why on earth is the U.S. House of Representatives, controlled by Republicans, voting to fully fund the DNC agenda, the Democrat agenda? Why is the Republican legislature in Helena voting to fully fund the judiciary that's going to invalidate and strike down every single law they pass? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anyway, folks, that's my little rant for the morning. The Montana Free Press put out this story justifying public safety power shutoffs. Remember that story, folks, from a couple of months ago? Remember that story about how in Montana we were looking at potential electricity shutoffs and blackouts? Well, we got an update on that. And the Democrat media is fully in favor of that, fully in favor of electrical blackouts and shutoffs here. And they've got every excuse you can think of to justify it.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Authorities in Mineral County continuing to investigate details behind an armed standoff this week where a man was accused of firing multiple shots in the center of Superior before barricading himself inside his motorhome. Officers rushed to the scene late Wednesday night after reports of the gunfire near the Superior Post Office, where the suspect had gone back into the RV and refused to come out. He surrendered before the Missoula County Tactical Team got on scene, and fortunately, no one was injured. It's the second incident with gunfire in western Montana this week. Life is a bit easier for some Stevensville residents after Ravalli County Sheriff Steve Holton rescinded an earlier evacuation order that's kept them out of their homes for nearly 2 weeks. Adjacent to the Sherrod Creek Fire, residents will remain on alert because the fire is only 23% contained. Speaking of firefighters, the city of Missoula gets big economic news this week as Senator John Tester announced Missoula Fire will receive $7 million in federal funding through the Fire Grants and Safety Act. Earlier this summer, Missoula voters had given approval to a new mill levy to hire more firefighters and eventually build a new fire station to keep up with the city's growth. Leaders of the new National Conservation Legacy Center say the new museum in Missoula will be the first of its kind in the country. National Museum of Forest History Executive Director Lisa Tate says the center will go beyond telling the history of the Forest Service to how multiple agencies have worked on major conservation issues over the decades.
It has been the vision of our organization leadership for a long time, so we are really excited to be at the point where we can break ground and start construction. And we want to let people know and educate the public on all of the work that goes into conservation and how many different partners and organizations and government entities contribute to that mission.
That new facility, which will be near the Missoula, Montana airport, should be complete late next year. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, if you miss even 1 second of Montana Talks and all the great content that we deliver, download the Montana Talks app, click the on-demand button, get the podcast and more.
This is where Montana Talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, remember, folks, Warrior Taste Fest is happening tonight in Bozeman, open to the public. You can get tickets still. Highly recommend that. Support Warriors Quiet Waters Foundations. Tim Sheehy's going to be there. Warrior Taste Fest, 5 o'clock in Bozeman today. Still get your tickets. Still show up. Hey, and if you can't be there, Maybe go on Warriors and Quiet Waters Foundation's website, make a donation. I support the group. Really appreciate anybody else that does. Remember in July when Northwest Energy, which, by the way, I just got a $400 electricity bill from Northwestern Energy. I'm so sick of these high cost of electricity because the Democrat nut job policies shutting down all of our electrical generation, forcing Northwestern Energy to have to purchase high rate electricity instead, because we don't have any coal power plants anymore in this state, pretty much because of Democrat nut jobs. But remember in July when Northwestern Energy sent out a message about potential power shutoffs, 30,000 Montanans were apparently notified about potentially having their power shut off. And the Montana Free Press has got this new story out about how these are actually called public safety power shutoffs, and they're used to manage the risk that wildfire poses to utility infrastructure, and the threat of damaged utility infrastructure sparking fire. And there's a 2024 plan from Northwestern Energy that says these power outages involve de-energizing electrical infrastructure in specific areas during periods of time where the risks of continuing to operate electrical infrastructure are unacceptably high. And here's the deal about this. It makes no sense, and these reasons are not, they don't add up. These are, they're apparently for situations where the risks of continuing to operate electrical equipment are unacceptably high, and this is what's so ridiculous about this is, okay, so what they're talking about with these risks is during fire season and during high temperature areas there, and this is what makes no sense, okay? Okay, if there's a forest fire and the forest fire is burning up electrical power lines, then cut the power to the electrical power line that's getting burned up by a fire. Okay, that's not some advance like, oh, we're putting out this new plan. It's like, no, you've always done a situation where you shut off power if the power lines are being burned up in a fire or if there's other some sort of, you know, issue going on. But now they're saying, oh, if it's hot out, and I'm just sitting there thinking like, okay, you're going to shut power off because it's hot out, not really understanding how that is supposed to prevent a fire. Maybe, you know, I'm no expert, I guess, so, you know, you guys help me understand. Just because it's hot out, it's not adding up. The reality, of course, is that, well, they're doing these other things, too, where they're replacing infrastructure so that they don't have other sort of wildfire risks. And it's like, that's great, you know. Yeah, go replace aging power poles, you know, to make sure that you don't have your power lines, you know, falling over and starting wildfires. But that's got nothing to do with climate or it being hot or there being an active wildfire. So anyway, none of that's adding up in my mind. In my opinion, those are all just sort of excuses for the real reason that they don't really want to tell us. Meanwhile, people in California paying $2,000 a month for electricity, and that's where we are headed here if these Democrat left-wing Biden-Harris Tester regime policies on energy and power production get passed. Former aide to New York's governor charged with being an agent of the Chinese government. Did you folks hear this one? Former Deputy Chief of Staff to New York Governor Kathy Hochul was charged this week with acting as an undisclosed agent of the Chinese government. What is going on here? The federal government is funding Chinese people to get U.S. patents. You've got a Chinese spy that was the driver for Democrat Senator Feinstein for 30 years. Now you've got Kathy Hochul, Democrat Governor of New York. Her top aide is a Chinese spy. What in the world is going on here? something's not adding up. I had a couple of woke updates that yesterday that we didn't get to. Some good news on the woke front. Some really good news on the woke front. This has been an ongoing trend where a lot of these woke corporations have been backing away from DEI and all of this garbage for some time. I've seen some analysis of basically like earnings calls and earnings reports and other types of SEC filings from public corporations. The amount of them that are mentioning DEI has dropped dramatically. And now you've got Molson Coors scrapping its woke DEI policies in a growing trend among U.S. companies. So we're winning, folks. We're winning. We are winning. This woke DEI stuff is so bad that it's amazing, too, to see it. Because usually when a culture goes down a left-wing path and you start to go down that path, usually it's very difficult to address and to reverse, but we're reversing it. We had a caller call in and mention these new John Tester ads where apparently somebody says in this new John Tester ad that they're a Trump MAGA Republican Trump voter, but they're gonna vote for Tester because he has and the caller's obviously right to say that that's obviously fake. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. Either that person is being paid to say what that, because that's what the Democrats do. They pay people to support them because otherwise they apparently can't get much support. Anyway, I don't believe it. I don't think that's true. I've got other people on Twitch saying that there's a whole bunch of Republicans that are supporting Kamala Harris. Guys, did you guys know that? We got tons and tons of Republicans now that support I'm sorry, no. If you're supporting Kamala Harris, you're not a Republican. My goodness. Being a Republican means you support Republicans. You can't support all Democrats and be a hardcore Democrat supporter and then say, I'm a Republican. Give me a break. Anyway, Molson Coors is rolling back its DEI initiatives, becoming the latest in a string of iconic American companies to step away from their woke policies. The company's executives said its HR team began making plans in March to broaden the view of its DEI policies to ensure all employees know they are welcome. In other words, yeah, we kind of forgot to try to make American citizens, you know, comfortable or welcome, as they say. Yeah, we kind of forgot about the American citizens. Yeah, we're so focused on making sure everybody else felt welcome. We just forgot about you. So we're going to broaden it, guys. We're going to broaden it. So now we actually do care about American citizens. Thank you, Molson Coors. Jeez. Coors Light Maker said it's doing away with DEI trainings now that every employee has completed them, which that's not much of a win. It's like, oh, we forced everybody through the indoctrination camp. So now we're done with the re-education camps. Yeah, it's not really much of a victory. It's like, yeah, the re-education camps are going away, but that's just because we've all been re-educated. Doesn't sound like a huge victory to me. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David. So you were talking about Northwest Energy and, you know, cutting the power during the high wind, high temperature, red flag type days. And, you know, on one hand, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. On the other hand, I can see why they do that, because PG&E or PPG or whatever the company is out there in California, you know, they weren't allowed to do their fire mitigation strategies by cutting undergrowth, plowing in fire breaks, all these things that help prevent fires from spreading if they happen to have one, by the state of California, by the federal government. So Northwest Energy is protecting themselves from a lawsuit, which sucks for the end user like you and I. But, you know, it's
but I don't understand, Tim, what I don't understand is, like, okay, it's hot outside. There's a risk of a fire. So they're just going to cut our power off because it's hot outside and there's a risk of a fire. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. It's like, no, fix your infrastructure so that you can provide electricity when it's hot out.
I understand, and I agree. I'm just saying they're being ultra conservative and proactive to prevent being sued because of government policy. Government policies have forced their hand.
I think that's right.
And so it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. But that's the world we live in. We live in a stupid world where stupid Democrats make stupid policies, and the rest of us have to abide by it.
That's
and
right.
You were talking about the,
we're up against the break. We're up against the break. Got to throw you on hold, Tim. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
On the economy, and this is not Russia propaganda, I can't stand Vladimir Putin and think he's evil. However, I do believe that Ukraine could pay for the weapons if America's going to sell them to them. And I think Europe needs to do more. I'm very clear about that. But I think evil does exist. And I think Putin's invasion and killing innocent men, women, and children, and wiping out entire cities in Ukraine, that is evil in our time. And I don't care what his geopolitical ambitions and territorial ambitions are. Mark Cuban made an odd comment. He's an interesting guy I've debated in the past. He says Kamala Harris's tax plan will kill the stock market, but he's still supporting Kamala Harris.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-GOLD. G-O-L-D. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Welcome to Now.
All right, summer's over. Kids are back in school. Time to get to work, especially here in 2024. Man, it's crazy. Just a few short weeks left until Election Day. You're going to want to sound off on the big news of the day. You're going to want to tell folks all across Montana what's on your mind. And sometimes it's not always the big news of the day. Sometimes it's just the fun stuff, too. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
For your free debt resolution information now, 800-200 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got George Blackard in the house early for Freedom Friday. Hey, Tim, thanks for sticking with us. Did you have some additional comments?
Yeah, you were talking about the quote-unquote Republicans that were not voting for Trump, you know, the Liz Cheney's of the world, the McCain widow in Arizona, you know, and I think we just need to accept these people for what they are. They're trans. They're trans-political. They claim to be conservative Republicans, and they're really nothing but authoritarian. So yeah. They're just trans, and we just need to accept them for what they are.
I guess so. So you can be biologically a Republican but identify as a Democrat.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, for the call. Appreciate your calls as always. George, thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day. The sun's coming up.
It's Friday. Does it Friday in Montana? It doesn't get any better.
No, that's right. We live in, you know, I'll say it again, the greatest country on the face of the earth. And some people may want to debate that, but, you know, in other countries, you wouldn't be able to debate that. So,
yeah. So we were just talking about something with the Navy Secretary. Was that something you wanted to mention on air?
That absolutely is. So, and because this is important. You know, when they appoint people to these positions, you remember when Donald Trump became president the first time, he kept a lot of people. And one of the things he said his biggest mistake was, I didn't get rid of some people and put the people I wanted in those positions. And this is kind of one of those examples. So the U.S. Navy Secretary, you know, he is appointed and he is, let's see here. All right. Right now, it is Carlos Del Toro, and Carlos Del Toro, the Secretary of the Navy, broke the Hatch Act or violated the Hatch Act by endorsing Joe Biden for president. And he did this while he was speaking abroad, and I'm sure he did it here, too. And somebody called him out on it, and, you know, he finally reported it that he did it. But he didn't take ownership of it, and he didn't take responsibility for it. So he knew he broke the law, and he went ahead and did it anyway, and then he was not remorseful for it. So let's put it that way. But it's crazy because the Hatch Act applies to civil service employees in the executive branch of government. And it became law in 1939. That's how long that this has been around. So this, when he said this, it was an interview with BBC, and he was asked about, or later he was asked on the BBC about his comments on Trump's democratic principles. And Del Toro responded that in the past, Republican and Democratic presidents abided by core American values and protected democracy. And what he said was, we cannot afford to have a president who aligns himself with autocratic dictators and rulers whose interpretation of democratic principles is suspicious at best. Well, that is a joke all in itself if you look at how closely the Biden administration and the Democrats cozy up to Central American and South American dictators all over the world, really. You know, you've got our president and his family taking money from China, other countries like that, the Ukraine. And so it's ridiculous that he would do that. But see, that's what their playbook is. They can't just come out and win head to head. They have to spin all this stuff up and create doubt and falsehoods and just flat out lie about it. And so, you know, it's just another example of why it's important that when they confirm people, we're confirming good people that understand how important it is.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think Trump is going to clean house a lot more than he did when he first came into office in 2017. This is going to be a different deal. David Noble, George Blackard in the house for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There's always wisdom in studying history, but in the case of economic history, there's even more wisdom in understanding it. What caused the Great Depression? What has the U.S. economy done to outperform most of Europe? Or what caused the outbreak of inflation after the COVID pandemic? The passage of time can change our answers to these and other relevant questions about economic events of the past. The inrush of a presidential campaign is hardly the best time to rewrite the narratives concerning the inflation spike of the last 3 years. Yet with the growth in prices finally seeming to ease, there are plenty of reasons the simple explanation of excess deficit spending as its cause should be reexamined, or at least supplemented. Because it's hard not to notice how the same cycle of spiking, then moderating inflation, has played out in countries across the globe. Many of those countries hit the stimulus button hard as well, but not all of them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.